Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to Accepted As I Am on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the fourth Thursday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Accepted As I Am is hosted by Barbara White. Barbara is a best-selling author, workshop leader, and the founder of the Accepted As I Am process. She owns a healing center in the Detroit metro area, and she is affectionately called a midwife for your soul. Guided by spirit, Barbara effortlessly brings you into the presence of God's love and ignites within you the knowing of your own self-inherent worth. To connect with Barbara, you can visit her site at www.acceptedasiam.com. And to connect with her right now, you can call into the show at 1-646-378-0378. And now for your host, Barbara White.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you for taking this time, which is a great investment into loving you, into knowing more about all the qualities of your soul, which are love, beauty, compassion, joy, the earth, multifaceted. And so thank you for taking this time. I deeply respect you and respect your process and respect that you have really heard that calling to become more yourself, that calling to step forward into that growth, that evolution. Also mistakenly called self-improvement, right? Because you can't really improve the love, the precious child of God that you already are. So self-improvement is kind of, what would the word be, a misnomer or mislabeled or not a misnomer? But my point being that you really can't improve on what you already are. You can remember it. You can discover it. You can open up to it, but you certainly can't improve on it. Now, this is actually bad news for a lot of our minds that are linear focused, and also the power over models in the world, the hierarchy models. Penny and I were having a great discussion, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide Penny. Her and I were talking about how there's a business model where you can engage, and it's almost like you want to cut that person's throat, a business model on the planet, not the business model, obviously, I do or she does, but where you want to, like, you're almost in, like, a fight, but then afterwards it's, like, no big deal. But that level of intensity, that level of, wanting to pin the other dog down, so to speak. And that model of life, the way the power over model is held, the hierarchy model is held within corporate America, of course, and within America, and may even more so become more the power over model, kind of like the Eisenhower. I misquote, but I get the concept right here. But the or was it Roosevelt? But anyways, the bigger story, when he was working with those that know history are going to be like rolling their eyes at me right now. But the bigger stick policy. Remember the bigger stick policy where they were dealing with Cuba. And 1920s maybe, and that they actually had the bigger stick policy where those with the bigger stick wins. You know, those with more bombs, those with more. So anyways, that model is also brought into our spiritual growth, into our own inner, I mean, that's pretty scary, isn't it? And that's why when you have people presenting healing models that says transform in three easy steps, or have radiant success in 2 weeks, heal all your issues in this one weekend. It really appeals to that kind of model, right? We like that that linear, got to get it done. But it can be very painful because, sure, those things can open things up for people, but it almost can send them into a spiritual crisis. A lot of times when people do healing work, they're kind of have incredible gifts and they can open people up really fast, you know, using great modalities. There are so many great modalities out there, whether it's breathwork or Reiki or high-dose homeopathics. And I'm speaking from my own experiences. You can really open them up, but it's how do they put that in their daily life? How do they integrate that? Is that really showing up in an integrated, grounded way? So self-improvement and this got to get it done pushing model that's brought into spiritual growth, it is painful because you will get an opening, but ultimately you'll have a crash. In transpersonal psychology, we call that peak experiences, that people can have a peak experience, but how does that really integrate into their daily life? I love what Carolyn Miss says. She says, many people are walking around with insight overload. When I work with mentees, I have them write integrations after a session, or I have them do a certain amount of homework. And it really, I see, you know, doing years of not doing that and then doing that now, I've seen great changes. Juicier tomatoes, rather than just big and tasteless. Like they're big, but they got more taste to them. You know what I mean? the slower growing ones versus the genetically modified ones. So again, thank you for taking this time for yourself. Even as you listen to this show, and you take this time to look within and love yourself, and really remember what you already are. Things begin to rise up, right? You've removed yourself from the distractions of the world. You've stepped back for a moment. And that's normal for that to happen, whether it be listening to one of the great radio shows on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, or you're at a yoga class, or you're walking in nature, or you take time to just be still, turn off the TV, turn the cell phone off. That whatever needs to be seen and witnessed will come up. Many times people will forget that and think their meditation needs to be all feeling good the whole time, or can't understand why 90% of the yoga practice, or maybe all of it, they felt really uncomfortable. And that discomfort, that divine discontent, part of that growth edge, that if you really say, I want to grow, knowing that what doesn't grow in nature dies, that if you're not growing, you feel dead. If you're not learning things about yourself and on that edge of your own growth, edge of your own potential, you feel dead inside. That reflecting, that revealing, that opening, that expressing, that co-creating, that's life. That's your purpose. But it can be also very uncomfortable. I forget sometimes how, like, because I, not forget, but life reminds me. I've been actively, you know, not just saying I'm spiritual, but not having any daily practice. There's that time in your life when you're just like, yeah, I'm spiritual, but you have no daily practice. You don't really do anything to look, like, actively look within every day. You're not taking accountability for all your thoughts and feelings, but you call yourself spiritual. There's that. But then as you go a little bit farther down the path and you say, okay, I am 100% responsible for all that I feel and think. I take that. I don't give any thing or person or condition that power. I become endogenous versus an indigenous. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson coined that phrase. It said, like a palm tree cannot grow in snow, right? You can't put it out in Antarctica and it grows. It's indigenous. But endogenous means that you have the ability to grow and flourish wherever you're at. that you have that capacity within you. You have the capacity within you to grow wherever you're at, whether you're in an abusive relationship right now, or you're stuck in a job that you hate, or you live in a place that you don't like, or maybe you're at a weight that you're just like, I can't believe I let my body get to this weight, or whatever it is, where you're like, oh my gosh, it's, and then the mind says, right, says, well, once I get the weight loss, or I get out of this relationship, or I get out of this job, then I'll start living, then I'll start growing. And as my teacher likes to say, Michael Beckwith, and my friend, that you're putting your happiness on the layaway plan, but never to be bought, never to be taken out of layaway. I'll be happy when. So really embracing that divine discontent, embracing, but yet at the same time, when you're growing, you're in that peaceful abiding. There's a peace about it. There's an inner, it's kind of like, you know, when you can feel your body asking for you to drink more water or asking for you to make this change. And I never say there's like one nutritional plan for anyone. Like everyone's got to really, it's really about listening deeply to that, to your body and being in relationship with it. Whatever that means for you. Whether that means more water or less meat or more meat or whatever, really deeply listening and being conscious about your choices. So as you're in that growth area, you know, when you say, okay, I'm going to drink more water, let's just take that, and you start doing it, you know how you just automatically feel better, although getting the water in and cutting out some of the pop, it's kind of a pain in the butt, right? There's that pain in the butt part of it. But you actually feel better, right? Because you're in that peaceful abiding. Anything you want to change in your life, your relationships, your financial situation, you have the power to do that. If you ask, why is this here and why is, you know, your mind's going to create all sorts of reasons. It's my genetics, it's my family upbringing. But if you ask, what wants to emerge? And then follow that up with, what baby steps can I take today? And what daily practice can I put in, whether it's like 10 minutes of meditation in the morning or even 5 minutes? Or you consciously breathe as you look at your body, your beautiful body. However that body is in this moment, you breathe and you do like a very simplified Tai Chi or yoga practice where you breathe and you stretch for 5-10 minutes a day. That can be very grounding, very healing. But it's just remembering to remember, right? Remembering to get that in. And not chasing some type of answer outside of you. Not chasing that this person or that the weekend or this healer has your answers. Those answers are within you. You are your own medicine. Nothing wrong with receiving help. But receiving help from knowing your own completeness. If you're receiving help from thinking that someone else has the answers and you don't, that's giving your power away. And that happens way too much in our culture. There's a big difference on the planet of healers that work with people and guide them to their own answers versus ones that are giving the answers. So circling back again, thank you for taking this time. Noticing what comes up for you, but don't buy into it too much, you know. Let those images, let those pictures move through. Not have any grasping, any holding on or pushing away. If you push something away, you actually hook into it for a while. You know, it's like letting something, is the old meditation statement is, let it float like clouds in your sky. But let it move. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to hold on to it. Just let it move through. Like as I'm talking, you may have thoughts from yesterday, or you may remember something from history that kind of correlates with what I'm talking about. Just let that go. Let it clear out. Give this time to yourself as an opportunity to clear. I remember I was with Hale Dwoskin, who made the Sedona method or created it, and he said something so great. He said, if you have a realization and you feel completely peaceful and joyful afterwards, that was the realization. But if you think you have a realization and you don't feel peaceful and your mind's still racing, then it probably wasn't the realization. You know how the mind can get really fancy and be analyzing and figuring things out, and you get kind of, oh, okay, I know what this is about. And yeah, you really, if you check in with your felt sense, your body, and then your emotions, you're like, no, there's not really a peaceful abiding here. I don't really feel expansion. You can always tell if your thoughts and beliefs are aligned with your soul, right? Right? If you've been listening to any of my shows, you know the answer to this. The answer is in you. You got it. You know what it is. How do you know when something is aligned with you? How do you know when a thought is aligned? What's your signals in your body? What's your signals in your heart? Ask yourself that right now. Got it? How do you know when something's true? Like, when is it that you have a thought and a belief, and even though it might be really fancy, how do you know it's aligned with your soul? Put some words to that. Put a color to it or a felt sense. So how does that feel in your body when you know something is aligned or in integrity with your heart, a belief, a thought, what somebody says? Do you have like a humming in your stomach? Do you have an expansion in your chest? Do you feel more grounded? Do you just know? Do you see colors when you close your eyes? How do you know? It's your way of knowing. If you don't listen to any rest of this show, if you can take that one tool and really ask yourself, what is my way of knowing my truth? Right? What if you took that into relationship? What if you took that into your next job? What if you took that into the current situation, knowing that you are endogenous, begin to listen to that inner voice a little bit deeper. Be like, okay, logically, this seems like it's true because this is my history and this is what the data says. This is what the doctor says. This is what this authority figure says, or this person I've given my authority over says. But there's something that, you know, as I've been checking in and really getting to know my heart and getting to know what's true for me, gosh, there's something that doesn't feel aligned here. Which comes back to that old adage of really being true to you. That when you're true to yourself, or seek first the kingdom of heaven within, or know that you have been given it all already, be true to yourself. Practice, right? It's not just a little, it's not something you just write once on in your journal or get a tattoo of, and then all of a sudden you're done. It's a practice. And unfortunately, again, this sounds really not so exciting to someone who says, don't tell me spirituality is a practice or growth is a practice. I want to just, it's like when someone calls to mentor with me, they're like, well, how many sessions? And I am always like, well, it depends on your approach. And I know confidently in my heart, I don't create a dependency. In fact, that's kind of the, sometimes people get mad at me that I really support people. I hold their hands at times. I point their direction. I hold their beautiful hearts, but they really are the ones that are in charge. And that level of self-responsibility. I've been through those fires of where I took responsibility for other people's journey subtly. You know, people I've mentored, and I remember Spirit said this to me, and as I was learning that enmeshment, or you can also call it a codependent pattern, whatever, both are applicable here. I remember Spirit said to me, well, anybody that you feel like you're responsible for, not only do you own them, but they own you. That the jailer and the warden are much in prison, as the both are in prison, right? And so knowing that each individual, each expression of God on the planet, meaning you who's listening to this, whether you're listening to this in 2015 or you're listening to this in 2035, that you have full responsibility within your being to your life. And that you've been given everything. All the skills are already within you. It may take some time. It may not be initially like, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't know. But as you continue to be willing to grow, to love what you perceive to be unlovable, now remember, you're not your behavior. You can't destroy what God created. You just can't. And there are no mistakes in God. I really know that in my heart and in my core. Not only for my own times that I've done things I'm conscious and I said, wow, okay, and had compassion for myself, knowing that everything on the planet, all the crazy behaviors from unresolved pain and shame and guilt. See, when we look within and we say, okay, when we know better, we do better, but it's also that famous quote from Maya Angelou, when we know better, we do better, but that knowing comes from self-love and self-acceptance. You know, the heart work, then the head work. I wish I could put this statement on this principle, which I don't mean to oversimplify because it's really multifaceted. I've worked with people on this one statement I'm going to say for sessions, and for myself, it's taken me years in deepening. And the statement is, you don't have conscious choice until you have self-acceptance. So heart, then mind, right? That when you have these parts of yourself that are in pain, you do things that you're not fully conscious of. That's part of being human. That's why even as your gifts and your magnificence is expressing, always good to remain humble, right? Looking out in the world and really knowing there's no mistakes in God. I mean, even the most horrific of things. It all has the potential to become more love, more God, more joy. I had this month quite the opportunities. I see them as opportunities to come into deeper compassion and love. My elderly mother was attacked. And initially there was anger. But there was a point, I don't know if you ever had this, where I had to see, as I allowed the anger, I didn't repress it. And then I didn't take it out on anybody. I took it into a Bikram practice, Melissa and Ernie's Bikram over in Northville. I love their studio's nice. I go there probably once or twice a week. But I took it into a practice, and that's what I would normally do, take it into a walk, or I would put on some heavy metal and shake, do the Osho method of shaking for 15 minutes, very powerful. So I took it and I saw just as it's like, and I describe it this way for people, as you're allowing the emotion, you're not letting it hijack you. You're staying in the part of you, you see the emotion, you feel it, but you are the awareness behind the thoughts, right? So as you have a thought or a feeling and you're able to watch it, you're the watcher behind it. So I was in the practice of that, and I was, Louise Hay has a method I use with, imagine the person on a stage and you beat them with a bat, or I know it sounds cruel, but you're doing this in your mind. You're not, and you have to allow anger, and I found that allow anger, conscious anger, meaning anger that is not taken out on anyone, or unconsciously comes through your words, that conscious anger is healthy. It's actually the revolution before the change. And that's what I see in people's energies. And how to move through anger consciously is an art. So anyways, I was doing that. And there was a point at which I had to, once I did the heart work, I had to choose in my mind, okay, I don't want to just forgive. Forgiveness is a great tool, but it's still in duality. I want to see this in non-dual awareness, meaning I want to see that it serves love, that it is part, that everything is love. I'd like to see beyond victim and victimizer. Because forgiveness can really have that energy of, oh, I forgive you, and there's some I that is doing the forgiving. And there's still a belief that there's a victim and victimizer. But I wanted to be able to see the person that did the act, see their pain just as much as I've seen my mother's. Does that make sense? Because that really frees me. The same way when I pray for the factory farming, I want to see the hearts of the people that are doing those acts to the animals, the bulldozers and all that stuff, and the mangling and the leaving them in piles and all that crap. See the people that are doing that with the same compassion I do with the animals. So there was a point at which I needed to choose that. But once I had to allow the anger, and it like softens. As all I can describe it when I see it in people's energy or myself, it's like, it's almost like it's been, the emotion has been surrounded with a huge buffer of love and energy and chi. It looks like a little pea in a yogurt bowl. Or it looks like a big donut around a big yummy donut. Someone who's not eating bread right now. Big yummy donut. Okay. Big yummy donut around their energy. And then once that happens, then the mind does have to engage. You know, we've been given free will for a reason. And of course, most of the world jumps into free will, right? The heart work is really the midwifing part of the process. That's the midwifing process that I love teaching healers. I love teaching to therapists and yoga instructors. I love it, this process I'm describing. Because I know I'm describing it, but it's like trying to describe to you the whole evolution of a baby in the uterus. You know, it's like I could say, well, there's the first stage and the second stage, but it has that level of beautiful, beautiful, multifaceted layers to it. So, as in, and you've experienced it too, right? So, because you can be your own midwife. So once you get that, if there's like a softening to it, then there's a choice that happens in the mind that says, I choose to see this in love. I choose to see this as God sees this, or however that's framed for you. I choose to see this as Buddha or Krishna or Source sees this. And I sat with last night, I sat with the person that did the attacking and then my mother. And it was almost like all this work I had done prior, like my own compassion surprised me. You know, the part of the mind that says, get angry, get pissed off. But that part doesn't have that primal brain that, you know, I call that the primal brain, or the part of our reptilian brain, the part of our brain that is reptilian, that goes into survival and fear, at a level of compassion. And then I was teaching the person that did the act about how pain and it just happened spontaneously. They were talking about how evil it is for people to hurt animals, and that there's evil people out there. And I said, you believe in evil people, huh? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, as you've been seeing compassionately the pain that you were in that caused you to do this act, can you understand as you look out into the world the pain that people are in that's causing them to hurt the animals? And I don't agree with it. I don't, you know, it's not like I'm, oh, yay, hurt the animals, hurt my elderly mother. Sounds good. No, it's moving beyond right and wrong into the omnipotence, omnipresence, unconditional loving energy that is God, that is that benevolent force that loves us, that loves me, that loves you, that is also us, right? So they thought about it for a while, and a lot of times it takes the energy some time as they're willing, it kind of percolates in them or kind of trickles down like water through a dry sponge, and they go, oh. And then I repeated it in a different way. I said, well, see, as you can really see how unconsciously we can act at times, doesn't that help you to understand other people's unconsciousness? And they go, oh. And I saw the heart just open up more. It's really hard to see evil people when you've loved your own unconscious stuff, you know? And we've all hurt people or hurt animals or done things that we didn't really are not too proud of, you know? We all have done that. book I read, I think like 15 years ago, just recalling right now, it's called Field Notes on Compassion. I remember he had a chapter on that of really like looking at, okay, come on. We've all cut people off in traffic, or we've all said something that was from a point of punishing energy, or we've all done that, and it's no big deal. And it was a great chapter he had in there. So if you happen to need to reference that, that might be something. All right, so you're in that growth edge, yes? Yes to growth, yes to peaceful abiding in your heart, yes to joy, yes to love. Can you bring that yes into your heart right now? And just bring that yes down to your feet and down to your legs. Becoming more you, to realizing more you. Can you feel that life force that begins to build from that yes? Don't pay that resistance too much attention right now. Just bring that yes. See, light supports life. And see, light, and what I mean by that is anything that supports life is supported by life. When you say, okay, I'm ready to grow, I'm ready to evolve, life, it's like you align with this energy, this grace. You know, grace isn't something that we just say at lunch or dinner or whatever. Grace is that benevolent, powerful, cosmic force that's working in your life. It's the energy that allows you to breathe without thinking. It's even more than that. So life supports life, meaning as you make a commitment to grow and open up and engage in more life, life aligns with you. Life also opens up to you and supports you. There's a quote that I put in next month's article, Your Spiritual Vocation. The word spiritual vocation actually came from a man, his name's Ethan, and he has a intentional community, the Possibility Positive Community. I'm not for sure, so that's why I didn't quote him in the article, but when I do take these, a lot of times I'll take part different articles and compile them and then put more chapters in there and create a book, which is the book I need to get published that has that. It has some incredible chapters on the initiation that we go through as we grow, the proving to ourselves we'll be true to ourselves, and the four steps in that, and how that I see that happening in people's spirits. And then it has articles from the last few years in there as well. And it also has my master's paper on how your body awareness grounds you, and how body awareness is key to being body awareness and allowing your life forces, your sexual life force, is a key to healing ADHD. And body awareness is kind of a missing piece. And when it comes to really grounding and rooting, anyways, all that's in that book. And when I do that, my point being, I have a point, is that I will reference Ethan, and I'm researching his name of his place and everything, but it's going to take a little time. So anyways, your spiritual vocation comes from this phenomenal man, Ethan, that has this community, I believe in Wisconsin, that is a couple hundred people that are living to out of service. So it's a service community that is, I also believe it's on a gift economy. And he brought to my attention this quote from Martha Graham. Sorry about that. Martha Graham is recognized as one of the greatest artists of the 20th century. She created modern dance. So she was really, like, she was a woman creating this own art, this like this art that in the dance world, you don't just create, you know, especially if you look at modern ballet, you don't just create your own dancing form.
like in the martial arts or yoga, it's kind of the same kind of, you don't go all of a sudden and say, okay, I'm creating my own yoga form, my own martial arts form, which people do, but they get rebuffed from it, and in dance too. Like she, especially being a woman and being expressive of her body, her sexual life force, she had some kickback from that. So Martha Graham, quite an evolutionist, created quite a stir. And so this is a quote from her. I love it. I just love it. And I'll just read you the quote and the rest of the article, Your Spiritual Vocation. Please check it out in September. It's got some really, I'm just really happy how this is going to help people. I'm just really, so please check it out and please pass it on. So here's a quote from Martha Graham. There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares with other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You just have to keep open and aware to the urges that motivate you. Keep the channel open. No artist is pleased. No artist is pleased. There is no sense of satisfaction whatever at any time. Queer divine dissatisfaction, a blessed unrest that keeps us marching and makes us more alive than others. She talks about, so I just want to look at that quote and why it's so spectacular. It covers all the parts of people bringing their gifts into the planet. Their unique expression that God is here. You're here to know God and reveal God. That's your purpose. That's really your only purpose. And that she says, there's only one of you of all time, and this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium. See, it's just like your hands that have your own unique fingerprinting. Right, and it's that unique. That 7 billion people, and there's no other fingerprint like your own. And it's not your business to determine how good it is. Meaning, I remember I said this in a radio show a while back that the woman who started Noah's Ark down in North Carolina, I believe, maybe Georgia, but anyways, Noah's Ark. She's rescued 200 animals and over 200 foster children. And she said something that was at first kind of surprising. She said, I don't feel worthy of this. And I think sometimes in the spiritual growth or psychology movement, the Aquarian age, we focus on feeling worthy too much sometimes. That it's okay if you don't feel worthy of what you're about to do. Just do it. Just give that hug. Just say that kind word. Just write that poem. Of knowing that you go ahead and do it. You don't have to feel 100% worthy. If you wait till you feel 100% worthy or perfect, if you will, inside, it's never going to happen. There is no such thing as perfect. So I believe my next article for October is going to be emotional perfection. You're always going to have emotions going through you of fear, doubt, worry, insecurity, unworthiness. If you wait for them all to leave before you finally do that thing, probably not going to do it. And she said, it's your business to keep it clearly and directly, to keep the channel open, meaning it's that balance of owning your gifts, owning your unique expression of God, but at the same time, knowing that you are part of that universal life force, universal energy. That you have to own it to be able to give it away. So it's your business to keep it yours clearly and directly. You got to own it to be able to give it away. And then she says, keep the channel open. No artist is pleased. So that's the no, not there's no being satisfied. A blessed unrest. And that's that growth area I talked about, that divine discontent. But at the same time, she says, it makes us more alive than others. And that's that peaceful abiding. And so you have this unique expression that is you, that be willing to be surprised. Don't that it may show up. It may show up by, like the other day, my energy was not where it usually is, and I was biking. And I didn't realize, you know, when your mind's now got a committee going and your mind's taken off in one direction. And as I was looking at that committee, or not even aware that committee had taken over, the critical committee, I looked to the left and this couple was hugging, and the love energy that was coming out of them, it just, boom, shifted me right out of it. Now, they didn't know that was such a beautiful hug. It was, they didn't know that it had done that for me. So you don't wait to say, okay, well, I need to know how this is going to affect. You know, the flower doesn't wait to bloom to say, okay, well, who's going to see me blooming, and what kind of payoff am I going to get from that, and how much money am I going to make from it? No, you just begin to bloom. You begin to give. And that if your expression isn't a little scary for you, doesn't make your hands sweat, then it's not your growth edge. But if your gifts don't make your hands sweat, it's not your gift. And so knowing that you are here to know God, reveal God in only the way you can. And it's okay if you're a little scared. I forgot to mention, I was talking with somebody who had, I could see, like I can see people's amazing gifts. And I it's like, it gets me like, I guess, that's why I love mentoring people and I have for years, because I know when they bring those gifts forward, how it affects the planet and animals and earth and how important it is. How incredibly important it is. So I'm very excited at this new project that I'm engaging in, the Body, Mind, Spirit University, and how it's going to usher healers into even greater expression and reach people that may have not been reached otherwise. And so I was seeing these gifts in this person, and they said, I don't know, you know, every time I tried to do this, you know, and I tried to go forward and do this, it just hasn't worked out. And I don't know, it just hasn't worked out. And I said, we were kind of in a social setting out in public, but it felt right to say. I said, well, you know, your gifts are about your becoming. It's about your soul's calling you forward. And maybe there's an edge, something that comes up that you have to accept and love, because that whatever it is, that pain, however that pain is, that insecurity or fear, that's the fertilizer to your growth. And as you shoot higher in your dreams, that stuff needs to come up. It will come up. It's somehow we have a belief that life isn't meant to be challenging at times. It is challenging. Life is messy. You know, it's not just pray harder and have faith and then everything's perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. Life is messy. So I said something like that to this person, and they looked me in the eye, and I loved her authenticity. They said, you know, every time I have gone forward, I start to feel uncomfortable in my skin. I felt that discomfort, and I went ahead and just turned around. I don't know if I, and they just kind of said with such authenticity, which I thought, hey, all right. They said, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to really face that discomfort and feel uncomfortable. And I looked at him and I said, thank you for that authenticity. Because a lot of times people will say, well, I don't have the money or I don't have the time, right? And they always, our mind always convinces us we don't have time or money. But you don't have time and money to grow your soul. You don't have time and money to give your gifts on the planet. You don't have time or money to affect your family and affect the entire environment. That the self-growth or self-love is the most important thing you can do on the planet. You don't have time or money. But the mind makes convincing stories, right? So I just so loved this person's authenticity. I was like, you know what? Great. Awesome. That level of self-awareness that doesn't have any shame attached to it, like, you know, I'm just not ready. I don't really want to face this discomfort. I so celebrated this person. I was like, great, great. You know, and I knew that they were in a time of, they needed that stepping back, you know, and it's like they had the awareness of what it was. They didn't have all sorts of shame attached to it. And I thought that was just absolutely spectacular. Just absolutely spectacular. So maybe that's where you're at too. And again, how do you know if that's true for you? I can't tell you that. Your body will tell you. Your heart will tell you. Your heart will tell you if you're in alignment with your soul, if you're alignment with your soul's journey. And an intent, and carrying an intent. If you're not my Facebook friend, please go ahead and do so. I just put this post up that says, a clear intent will turn fate into your destiny. Meaning, as you're clear with your intent every day, practice every day, and you can begin with the one that's like, when people start saying, what's my purpose, and get very confusing. And I've seen actually people spend months of trying to figure that out, and it really is as powerful and as simple as you're here to know God and reveal God. And if you're clear and grounded in that intent, like you can feel it in your feet, you can feel it in your bones, your heart will then guide you. Your inner knowing, that, as Martha Graham called that, that's why the quote is just so spectacular. He says, you do not have to believe in yourself or your work. You have to keep yourself open and be aware of the urges that motivate you. So when you're clear in that, you're clear that you're here to, let's say if you don't like the word God, know love, reveal love. But sometimes love can be confused with other things, right? So whatever word really is clear for you, know the universe and reflect the universe. Know the cosmos, reflect the cosmos, or reveal the cosmos. Or know the qualities of your divinity and reflect that divinity. Because love, of course, can be confused as a romantic love, and that's not what I'm talking about. So as you are clear in your intent on a daily basis, you meditate a few minutes a day, you clear in your intent to know God and reveal God. And if that intent really does not resonate with you, great. Then ask your heart, what wants to emerge through you today? What's your divine assignment? Because you have one. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I just want to talk about some things that are coming up. I'm in the process of learning how to do the back end work of my website, and as well as in conjunction with the other project I mentioned. And so this is not on my website yet. 24th, I'm going to have Self-Acceptance Fundamentals. And those that are current mentees, it's only $95. Those are that are new to this work. It's 125, and that's September 24th. And then October 24th, I'll be at Body Energy Fitness again with the fabulous Tracy Piggin. And Body Energy Fitness is out in Taylor, and you can contact her. It's on love and intimacy. And to not sound cheesy, but I'm going to say it, the word intimacy, into me, I see that oh, these things are sometimes so cheesy. But anyways, that is that love and intimacy of how we cultivate that in our own heart, and we cultivate it in the mini retreat on that day, and then how we can, in knowing we are endogenous beings, how can we bring that into our friendships, into our current relationship, that we can stop blaming him or her that, you know, we don't have intimacy, that starts with ourselves. And how can we bring that forward? How can we have that powerful, grounded vulnerability in our all areas of our life? And grounded, powerful vulnerability, what else is that called? That's called the growth edge, right? That growth edge I've talked a lot. I also need your help. Can you please pass on this radio show to at least two people? Can you let them know about it? Maybe people that you know that are looking for their purpose or what's their gifts? Can you also let people know? Can you let one person know about the mentoring sessions here, Accepted As I Am? I also, if you are out of state, I also work on Skype. So I can do Skype sessions as well as in person. So I hope to see you at one of the self-acceptance fundamentals, or which will have self-acceptance process, partner practices, Qigong, and then the love and intimacy workshop that will be amazing in October. It looks like I'll also be at, I believe it's One Spirit, Kelly Hussain. She requested workshops out there, I think Dexter, I believe. And I'm also available for that. If you would like to have self-acceptance process, the fundamentals, learning duality releases, the perceive protector work, all of that, I do travel and love to teach that and offer that to people to incorporate in their daily life. All right, sweethearts, I love you very much, and I'm really grateful to be part of your journey. Please pass this on to a few people. Please also let people know about the amazing resource of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. You're in a growth. Your self-love affects the planet. Don't give up. Your vibration, your unique expression is so incredibly needed. I love you. And know God and reflect God today.